We continue our learning Le'ilin Ishmas, Tavi Ben Achmanus, and Michal Yaakov, Benichos Aleo, we're in Megillah, Perek Dalin, Mishneh Ches. Now, the previous Mishnahs were discussing people who are ineligible to serve as a Shliat Tzibur, or to tune in Nisiyas Kapayim, and the like. We're going to discuss people who are also ineligible to serve as Shliat Tzibur, but not for the reasons we gave before. Before, we said that a person, the physical reasons, maybe he can't be the Pocheach, he's wearing tattered clothing, and we have the Mumin of the Kohen, but here we're going to discuss cases where we have a suspicion that this person is a heretic. This minus. So here the halacha is that if a person makes a statement which can be understood as heresy, so that person is ineligible to serve as a shliach tzibur. Let's say he makes a statement which can be understood and which is somewhat ambiguous. It could be a very righteous statement, a statement of piety. On the other hand, it's possible it's heresy. So there, that's a statement we discourage people from saying, but we wouldn't follow the practice of and assume that it's heresy. So the halacha is where a person makes a statement that is heretical, we're supposed to silence him. And that's what we'll see in the Mishnah. Ha'omer, eini over lifnei hateva b'tzvuin, person who says, I'm not going to leave the davening to go down in front of the aron to serve as shliach tzibur with colored clothing. Af b'levanim lo yavor. He can't even serve in white clothing, which means he should not serve as a shliach tzibur at all. A person who refuses to serve as shliach tzibur because he's wearing colored clothing, we're afraid that the reason he's refusing is based on the heretical practice of those who only prayed wearing white clothing. Rashi, Nemuka Yosef quotes that holds that this was the practice of the early Christians. Now, our version of Rashi doesn't mention Christians, mentions the fact that it's idol worshippers, and that could just be based on the censor. Another possibility is that this is not about a specific group, just a personal heresy of this person. He's not going to nothing related to anything specific, but he feels that he only wants to serve in, I'm not going to wear clothing, only white clothing. Maybe that's just personal heresy. Nonetheless, this is a person who should not serve as Shliach Tzibur at all. Bisando, ain't he over? So let's say he says, I'm not going to serve go down in front of the Aron to serve as Shliach Tzibur wearing sandals. So af yachef lo yavor. Then he can't even serve barefoot. What does that mean? So now a person is allowed to daven barefoot. Nonetheless, it's not a Jewish custom, a Jewish practice to insist on davening barefoot, obviously. So the fact that he insists on praying barefoot must be based on heresy, and therefore he's disqualified. Now, the case that we spoke about before, the case of a person who says, I'm not serving a Shliach Tzibur in colored clothing, so there's a machlokas as to how long a person is going to be disqualified for. Rambam holds that this is someone who can't serve as a Shliach Tzibur for that particular tefillah. Ravid says, no, this is someone who's permanently disqualified. Mishnah continues, Ha'oset tefillah so agula, person who makes his tefillin round. So Mishnah says, sakana. Number one, it's a sakana, it's dangerous, as we'll see why. If ain ba mitzvah, nor does he fulfill a mitzvah. Now, Mishnah doesn't mention why a person would want to do that. After all, we'll see that the Mishnah says, the ain ba mitzvah. So why would a person make tefillin? If you're already wearing tefillin, you may as well wear them properly. So the Mishnah also doesn't say that this is an act of heresy. So it could be that a person thinks, I want to make the tefillin look nicer, but there's obviously no mitzvah involved. And not only that, it's inappropriate also because it's dangerous. If you're wearing tefillin that are oval, that are round, so we have to be concerned. The Paratanura here says, ke'egos o kebetza, like a nut, like a walnut or an egg, sakana shaloti kones barosho, we're afraid that if he bumps his head, so he may lazily lowering himself into a doorway so it can penetrate his head. It's probably he's going to bump his tefillin when he lowers his head to say tachanun. And others say that what's happening here is like this, that if there's a gezeira, that we're say making a takana, you're not allowed to wear tefillin. So then, as the Mishnah says here, what does it say? Hoza tefila so agula, sakana vein ba mitzvah. So what does that mean? That there are times, as we know, that there were gezeiras made that you're not allowed to wear tefillin. So So what do people, so some people went out of the way to wear tefillin anyway. So the Mishnah is teaching you that if there's a gezeirah of the non-Jews that you shouldn't be wearing tefillin, so it's one thing if you wear kosher tefillin. Maybe you'll be protected because at least you're getting the mitzvah. But if you're wearing tefillin, that's agula, sakana ve'ein b'mitzvah. That's what it means, sakana. Sakana means you put yourself in danger because you're not fulfilling a mitzvah at all. So you can't help that Hashem is going to protect you through some type of extra zechus or miracle because you're not getting the mitzvah anyway. So it's a sakana, and obviously it's referring to a time of sakana. So that's another interpretation of the mitzvah. Nisana al mitzcho o al pasyado. Let's say you put the tefillin on your forehead or on your palm. This is obviously the tefillin shel rosh on your forehead and the tefillin shel yad on your hand, to follow the literal words of the interpretation of the pasuk, which is v'hayu l'totafos bein enecha, between your eyes, which is on your forehead, or al yodecha, on your palm. So this is the way of the tzedukim, and this is obviously something that the Mishnah says harezo derech minus. This is indeed derech minus. We're concerned that you're disgracing the words of the chachamim, and you're following the literal translation of the pasuk. So such a person. Is this indeed a heretical practice? The Chachamim learn through a Gezerah Shavah from the, it says, Beroshom, when it comes to the Kohanim, and speaks there as well, the not cutting their hair. So there's a Gezerah Shavah that was supposed to place the tefillin on the hair, on the head, and Bein Enecha means on the Rosh, on the head between the eyes, at the place where mochoshel tinokro, face, where the anterior fontanelle, which is the soft spot of the baby, that's where it's supposed to be, and of course the tefillin shel yad on the bicep, kiboris, which is at the top, which is keneged alev, because the visamtem, the Torah says that tefillin's supposed to be keneged alev. So wearing this tefillin is following the tzedukim, wearing the tefillin al mitzcho or al pasyado, harezo derech minas. Then Mishnah says, Tipon Zahav. Let's say you covered the tefillin with gold. Unisana al base unkelishilo. Or if you placed it on your sleeve, you didn't place it on your skin. And it's now, now you have the tefillin not under, you can put a sleeve over the tefillin, but not under the tefillin. Harezo derech hachitzonim. This is the way literally of outsiders. Sounds like it's not exactly minus, so we'll have to explain. Chitzonim says the Bar Tanura, b'nei adam haholchim achar datam chutz midas chachamim. People who follow their own judgments. So their judgments are chitzonim, are outside, not in accordance with the halachos of the chachamim. So this is not heresy, nor is it an act these are not behaviors of the tzedukim either. Nonetheless, this is not the way the chachamim understand. Why not? So the tzipan zahav as an example. So what's the issue with both of these? So covering them in gold, the problem is that you're covering the parchment of the tefillin with gold. The tefillin parchments have to be in some type of kli made from the hide of a kosher animal. That's lamantia toras Hashem b'ficha. That's halacha when it comes to tefillin, mezuzah, and sefer Torah. It has to be toras Hashem b'ficha. Hashem's Torah has to be written. If you're writing on the klaf, has to be something that you can put into your mouth. I mean, it has to be on the hide of a kosher animal. So to have any gold involved, so that's going to be a problem because that doesn't fall into this category. Now, there is a Rabbi Eger asked the question that really, gold, it may not be a food, but it's also not kosher. So that's some question about that. But nonetheless, the Mishnah here is teaching us Tipan Zav, covering the tefillin with gold is not going to be acceptable. Now, another explanation with Tipan Zav means that you're talking about a person who made proper tefillin boxes. But then, not that part of the tefillin was made with gold also, but he made perfectly kosher tefillin boxes with animal hide. But then he covered them with gold. So the problem here is that the box is supposed to be exposed to the air and he can't even cover them with gold, even if he made kosher boxes. Then we mention, what if you put it on his sleeve? What's the issue? So the pasuk says it has to be v'hayala la'os al yadecha. So we learn from there, and the Bar Tanur quotes here, l'chalaos Velo, it says, V'haya l'chala'os al yadachar, l'zikon b'enecha. So that teaches us, l'chala'os, v'lo l'achirim l'os, means it has to be for you and not for anybody else. So that way, they shouldn't be in a worn in a way where they're visible to everybody else. The idea is obviously wearing them over the clothing. It has to be directly on the arm. Once it's on the arm, whether you cover it with the sleeve or not, that's not the big deal. But the idea that I'm putting the sleeve underneath, so that's a problem. That's a violation of l'chala'os, that it has to be for you. Then the Mishnah, that's the end of the Mishnah. Okay, we're on Perek Dal and Mishnah test. Ha'omer yivaruchucha tovim harezu derech aminos. Another statement of heresy. Person who says in his davening that yivaruchucha tovim, which means that good people should bless you, Hashem. That's what he's saying. So what's the problem with that? So Bar Tanura says, there are many explanations for this. Says the Bar Tanura, I quote from the Bar Tanura, Shetzrichin Yisrael, Litzarefi Mohem Poshe Yisrael, Ba'agudas Tani Yoseim. So when you daven and we're fasting, so we're supposed to have everybody join with us, even the rebellious, even the Torah violators, even the Poshe Yisrael should be included. After all, Shaharei Chelbana, Rechara, we know the Chelbana, which is one of the 11 spices in the Ktoris. It didn't have a good smell and a good fragrance. Yet, umana, kosovim samaman aktoris. It's included in the samamanim anyway. We say this on Yom Kippur night, Kol Nidre night, right? Anumatim lispalat limhavar yonim. We join together aguda achas and we daven together. So to say that only good men are going to bless Hashem, that's heresy. It's not true. Everyone is supposed to do so. And this is saying this as part of the daven. That's the problem. There's one other explanation, a couple of other explanations. Another is that this is considered a heretical statement because it implies that the world was created so that the tzaddikim should give brachos to Hashem. But that's not true. Everybody was created to bless Hashem. So it's not just about Poshe Yisrael joining together, just like by the Torah, I have the Chelmana, but it's a statement about the world in general, that the world was created, that Yivaruch Tovim, that shouldn't be. Another possibility is, it's misinterpreting the pasuk of Achalta V'Savata V'Rachta, as if to say, you're only required to bless Hashem if I've eaten and I'm satiated and Hashem gives me good things. If I am able to enjoy good fortune, so then I'm supposed to bless Hashem. But that's against the halacha. That there is a halacha we're supposed to bench even if I eat a smaller amount, even a kezias. And not only that, I have an obligation to bless Hashem. Even the Mishnah says at the beginning of the ninth parak of Brachos, we're supposed to bless Hashem on everything. Chayv which we'll see a little bit later as well in the Mishnah. I'll tell you Zocher Shemecha, but this is similar to that as well. But misinterpreting V'achalta V'salata V'rachta in its most literal sense, so that sounds like I have to be satiated. But the Chachamim say that I'm supposed to bench even if I have less than that. So Yivaruch Tovim almost has the connotation that only if you are satisfied you have to bench, but it's Midrabban, I'm supposed to bench even not so. Others say that the concern here is that you believe in two gods. So that's certainly a problem of aminus. Why? Why does it say Yivaruch HaTovim? Why should that be? So what you're basically saying is, may the good, those who are in you within your authority, and you've given them good things, they are going to bless you. So what does that mean? You're basically saying there's a god of good and another god of evil. So what you're davening is that may the good mean those who are in the under the authority of the good god, so they're going to bless you. So that's obviously that's heresy. Now there is a comment of the Tosus Harash that this type of tefillah is really not heretical at all. It's a, in fact, Yivaruchucho Tovim. So this, what's the issue? In fact, Rabbeinu Tam when he would have any correspondence with people, he would conclude his letters with the words Yivaruchucho Tovim. So obviously this is not a problem. So it must be that it's not, the problem is where you include this into your davening. So that's going to be the issue. And Rabbeinu Tam himself understood the following. He says, we say, why did he like Yivaruchu Chotovim if the Mishnah says don't use that? He felt that Yivaruchu Chotovim means in the bracha of V'chol HaChayim Yodu Chasela, right, and which ends HaToshim Chol Chanela Hodos. So his problem was, he thought the Mishnah meant that the person who said, instead of saying V'chol HaChayim Yodu Chasela, all people who are alive should thank Hashem, V'chol HaTovim Yodu Chasela. So that was the way Rabbeinu Tam understood this Mishnah, so that obviously is going to be a problem, and that is Derech Minos, but he wouldn't have an issue outside of the context of davening, and maybe outside of the context of that bracha, of just saying the phrase Yivaruchu Chotovim. Okay, next line in the Mishnah. Al-Kan Sipur Yagiu Rachamecha V'al-Tovi Zorcher Shemecha or Modim Modim Mishatkin Oso. So the next three statements are not Derech Minos, but rather there are cases where it's possible to interpret it as misconstrued as Minos, and therefore we should silence such a person. So, what are these statements? So number one is Al-Kan Sipur Yagiu Rachamecha, which means your mercy extends even to the nest of the bird, referring obviously to the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKein, where it says, Lo Sikacha Eim Alabonim. So what's the problem with speaking about Hashem's mercy regarding this mitzvah? So the answer is, number one, if you say that, the Gemara assumes that you're making kina b'maseh bereishis, because why are you the one who is going to generate jealousy? Because you're specifying that Hashem's rachmanis is only in connection with this bird's nest, but he doesn't have mercy on any other creatures. So the other creatures are going to be jealous. That's not allowed. Secondly, if by making the comment that Hashem is, because of Kan Sipur, the fact that he says, send away the mother bird and then take the chicks, it shows Hashem's rachmanus. So that's making the suggestion that Hashem's halachos and the Torah are all based on rachmanus. But they're not. Hashem's commandments are considered gzeros. They're decrees from the king, and they have to be obeyed no matter what. So that's going to be a reason why we're going to silence someone if they say Al-Kan Sipur Yagiu Rachamecha. Then it says Al Tovi Zacher Shemecha, so that's a problem. We mentioned this a little bit earlier. We know the Mishnah says at the beginning of the ninth parak of Brachos, a person has to recognize that maybe there's reason for his misfortune and he has to bless Hashem with even Al Hara. We say HaTov HaMeitiv on good, and we say Dayan HaMes on bad, but either way, we have to make a bracha, and therefore should not be saying Al Tovi Zocher Shemecha, your name should be remembered and mentioned and blessed only for good. Well, obviously, we have to do so for bad as well. And then Modim Modim, what's the issue with Modim Modim? You're repeating Modim, Chas V'Shalom, sounds like you're praying to two gods, so that's a problem. Yushamli thinks that this is only a problem if you said this aloud, if the Chazan said this when he repeated the Shemoneh Esrei, person's davening silently. You say, modim, modim, maybe it's because you just want to have more kavana. We sometimes do that. We say the words a couple of times in order to elicit kavana. So that may not be a problem, if according to Yushalmi, if it's done silently. Hamechane ba'arayos, next halacha mishatkenos. So who else do we silence? A person who gives mechane, nicknames, literally, or symbolic interpretations to the arayos. Arayos are listed in the Torah in several places. Acharemos, Niavi Kedoshin, Kedoshim. We have to silence a person who interprets them as euphemism. So one example is when the Torah says, Ervas avicha, ervas imcholos galay, don't reveal the nakedness of don't uncover the nakedness of your mother or your father or your mother. They say, no, nakedness doesn't really mean arayos, doesn't really mean forbidden relations. It just means that I shouldn't say, he says, Shalo Yigale, says the Bartanur, Shalo Yigale clone aviv, uklone imo barabim. You shouldn't expose their embarrassment. Don't embarrass them in public. So such a person was supposed to silence. Why are you supposed to silence them? Because now people will think, oh, you chayiv kares if you embarrass your parents in public. So that's clearly say something say something degrading about them in public. That's plus the fact that people don't really will not know the literal interpretation of these psukim. So that's obviously not appropriate to people who have a misunderstanding of what the Chumash really means. Then the Mishnah says, "Omer umizaracha lo sitain la'avir la'molech umizarach lo sitain la'abara ba'aramayusa mishatkin oso benezifa." Person who says this is referring to the pasuk of Molech. This is where Torah says it's an Isser Kares, and if you're warned, it's an Isser Skila, if you give your children over to Molech. This is that ritual. Questions the Gemara in Sanhedrin whether the child is killed or not, but certainly it's brought over the fire, and then we take this very seriously. According to some, it's a form of Avodah Zarah. According to others, maybe not, but either way, the punishment is the same. But here you have someone who completely misinterprets this, and he says, oh, you know what this means? Don't give your children over to the Molech means from your seed, you shouldn't give your la'abra to impregnate an aramayusa, an Aramean woman, a non-Jewish woman. That's all it means. So that's a problem, because that's saying that, I first don't know what la'avir la'molech is, that giving your child is going to be an Isser Kares and an Isser Skila. And it also is coming to tell you that living with a non-Jewish woman is an Isser Kares, which it's not. So Mishatkin Osob Nezifa here was supposed to silence such a person with Nezifa, which is like almost like a ban or condemnation. We take that very seriously. And even though there is a Targum Yonos ben Uziel who does give this interpretation, but that's okay. That's not the, he often gives homiletical interpretations, but the literal interpretation of a person to say something like this is going to be a problem, says the Bar Tanur, Sha'okir HaKosuvi Mashma Uso, taking away it's real interpretation. V'nosein Kores Laba Al HaGoya. Which clearly is not the case, because this is only referring to the right of Molech and has nothing to do with living with a non-Jewish woman.